Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in with the member of the World Health Organization Advisory Group on Mass Gatherings. And Dr. Marty, here come the questions about the new variant. Are you ready?
I'm ready when you are.
Think it's already here in the U.S.?
It may well be, yeah. You have to understand that this didn't pop out all of a sudden, you know, magically in South Africa. This thing had been brewing for a while. It's got more than 50 mutations, more than 32 on the spike alone, with, you know, at least 15 different amino acid changes right in the receptor binding domain. And if you look at the genomic sequence of Omicron carefully, you see that the ancestor of it was actually detected back in May. So it just, you know, so a lot of the mutations that we see in Omicron were there in that ancestral form. Then, you know, with the opening up of a lot of global travel, et cetera, versions there of that one spread around. Somewhere along the line, it recombined with Delta and acquired additional complications, and now it's gotten to a point that it's really bad. And that's why there's more than 20 countries that have detected it. What South Africa and Botswana really did for the world is show us that it was here, mm-hmm. and show us how to detect it.
Mm-hmm. Is it too early to say that Omicron symptoms will be mostly mild, as has been the case so far with these people?
So that's a really good question, Bob. I mean, it's a critical question. So far, most of the cases that they've had in South Africa have been in younger individuals. And therefore, it's hard to be able to definitively say it's going to be mild, because we already know that in younger individuals, COVID has been milder. So it's sort of, I'll be cautiously optimistic that it'll be milder, but it's a little too soon to say.
And what about the vaccines? Will they be effective against this variant? What do you think? And how soon will we know for sure?
So let's distinguish the type of antibodies that are available and that your body can make, and the types of cells that make it. That'll help you understand. So if you have a product like the Regeneron or the Eli Lilly's monoclonal antibodies, those are a fixed shape of antibodies that are going to bind to a particular type of antigen, right? A particular receptor. And this thing has changed so much that those may not work or may not work as well. But that's not the same thing as what happens in our bodies. So if you think about the whole purpose of a vaccine, the whole purpose of a vaccine is to educate your immune system in terms of producing and having memory cells. And the thing that is interesting about memory cells, Bob, is that there's several kinds of memory cells, right? There are several kinds of T memory cells and several kinds of B memory cells. And if we focus on antibodies, we'll have to focus on B cells. And if you think about the different kinds of memory B cells that are formed and how they form from a vaccine, you'll find out that some of them you can think of it as having gone to graduate school, right? And so those are completely fine-tuned for whatever exact shape of the spike came, you know, in the vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are great if you see that again, but and they work right away. They're ready for you. You know, they become effector cells right away. Then there's another class, another set of educated B cells that went to college but didn't go to graduate school, right? Mm-hmm. So they're a little more flexible, right? So these that are a little bit more flexible, we'll go back and get a little bit more training, right? And so they fine-tune to the new thing, right? So then you have antibodies that are a little more flexible towards this particular variant being made in your system very fast, because these guys already have a college education. And then there's another class, believe it or not, that, you know, sort of got an associate's degree. Right?
I get it.
So they're even... You get it? So they're even more flexible. And that's why the vaccines are going to at least keep you from severe disease and death, where, you know, because of these shifts, they might not be ready to keep you from getting the virus in your system and spreading it to an unvaccinated person who could then end up in the hospital and die. But you yourself are protected against that severe level of disease.
And if you're asymptomatic or you get the virus but not at the severe level, are you liable to have what's being termed long haul symptoms or not?
You're less likely, but you're not escaping from it. So I'm following a number of my own patients, and these, you know, including, you know, I'm talking about fully vaccinated people who ended up with mild COVID, who still can't, you know, after several months, smell anything, who still feel a little foggy in the head, right? So what it seems to be with the patients I'm seeing is that they're getting the symptoms, but they're, you know, they have some degree of long COVID, but it doesn't turn out to be at the level of severity of the people who are not vaccinated. And, you know, so it's the milder long COVID symptoms that we're seeing in the vaccinated people.
These people who have picked up the Omicron strain, were they previously infected? Do we know?
I'm not sure I understand your question. What are you asking?
Are these people, what do we know about them? Were they vaccinated? Did they have COVID in the past? Do we know any of that?
Well, that's a great question. And so what we know is that the very first people who were from where we had samples back in Botswana were diplomats who were visiting Botswana. And see, there you go, how this thing is really all over the world already, visiting Botswana, and they were fully vaccinated. And that's another reason why testing is ultimately really, really important. And especially, you know, when people are traveling to zones where there's a high percentage of people who are not vaccinated, because even if they end up with very mild or no symptoms, they can kick off something horrible in a very susceptible population.
What do you think of Merck's new pill to treat COVID? Why was the FDA's vote to approve it so close? It was, what, 13 to 10?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of conversations about that particular pill. As you know, that's a nucleoside analog, and it's one that's a little bit unstable. So because that's what makes it work so well, I might add. That's why it is effective and you know, keeps about 50% of the people out of hospital. But again, because it's a little bit unstable and the way it actually functions as a nucleoside analog, there's some concern that it will affect not just RNA but DNA, and we have no idea what that would do to, say, an unborn child. And so there's a lot of debate as to whether that's the pill to use. But and that's why they also limited who it was approved for, right? And very, very tight conditions. But it does, you know, it definitely will keep severely at-risk people from going to the hospital and not necessarily having to have, you know, monoclonal antibodies or what have you. And it will work even against variants because, you know, the instability that it causes in the RNA chain of the virus is such that it makes it very hard for the virus to replicate. So it's not my favorite pill, but it, you know, like many medicines, you always have to weigh risks and benefits. There is a better pill coming around, the protease inhibitor that you've heard about. In my opinion, that's going to be a better pill to use. It just has to go through FDA regulations. It's more stable, you know, it's not a nuclease inhibitor. It's not a nucleotide analog. It is an enzyme that it harms that the virus needs, and so that's much better.
By the way, I'm going with your pronunciation of Omicron. I'll go with that one, as long as you're saying it that way. That's
Well, Bob, you know, I actually debated which way to say it, and you know, the word Omicron is, there's two O's in the Greek alphabet, right? There's a long O, Omega, and a short O, Omicron. And if you say a short O in English, we say short O with the O. And so if you want to use the, you know, the equivalent in Greek, you would say Omicron, not Omicron.
Omicron.
Omicron. Yeah, a lot of people are screaming that. Dr. Eileen Marty, professor at Florida International University. Thanks as always, Dr. Marty. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.